and welcome to season two of Sassy Single Moms. My name is Winnie and I'm the founder and host of the Sassy Single Moms podcast. On this week's episode, I'm speaking to Donna Ray, who is the head of maternity at the NHS, but she also runs confidence workshops to help women. And she'll be telling us more about what it means to have your confidence in check. Hi, Donna Ray. Thank you so much for joining me on the show today. How are you?
I'm so good. Thank you. I'm really good.
Okay, so I know a bit about you, but our listeners don't. So how about you just start off by telling us a bit about yourself?
Bullet point. So my name, like I said, my name's Donna Ray Goldson. I am a mum of two boys. My eldest boy is 18 and my teddy bear is 9.
Love it.
I'm also the eldest of four girls, no brothers. So I've got three sisters. We're all quite close in age. At the moment, my job is head of maternity. It was assistant director, but they changed it. You know what they do. So it's head of maternity for the NHS.
Nice. What does a head of maternity do?
So head of maternity, it's program management. So if you think about program management is lots of little projects within a bigger program, and managing the programs that sit within the maternity program, mostly focused on safety, of course. Safety, making sure women are supported to have safe births, have safe maternity journeys, have a great experience. And you'll know that there's been a lot of focus on and recognition about the fact that outcomes for ethnic minority groups are worse. So that's playing massive on the agenda, which is great. It's good to see.
And what are some of the, just because you've touched on it, so I think it'll be good to kind of brush past it.
Let's go.
Where, I guess, are the discrepancies when it comes to ethnic women and their kind of labour journey?
I remember being asked this question by my then manager 2 years ago.
What's been your experience as an ethnic woman going through maternity?
I've had a great experience, if I'm honest with you, compared to my friends and family members. My eldest was like 18 years ago, so I can't really remember it, but I do remember the birth. I remember I had a different midwife at each antenatal appointment, which was a bit like, the actual birth, intrapartum they call it, was great. It was nice. It was a lovely experience. And I had everyone that I wanted to be there was there. And then my youngest, I chose to have the one bit of my birthing experience is when I said to the lady that was booking me in, the midwife, and I said, you know what, I think I want a home birth. And she literally laughed in my face.
Why are women laughed at when they want to have a home birth?
I was like, she literally laughed in my face. Like I must have said, I'm thinking about it. And that laugh just made me more determined to have it. But I had a fantastic midwife, Nancy. And the difference with that experience is that she was my midwife all the way through.
Nice.
So I had a great experience. But like I said, I know it's not the same for everyone.
The research hasn't been done in order to support ethnic women to understand. Because it's also the same we can say with like PCOS. It's one of the biggest issues that affects Black and ethnic women, but there's no research as to why and what can be done about it.
And a lot of the research, my sister, who was a midwife, she's now transitioned to be a doula. She's saying a lot of the research and a lot of the medication that is given to women, they're when they've done the research, it's not even on white women, it's on white men. A lot of the research around medication, a lot of things is around white men. Yeah.
So, because there is clearly misogyny around medicine.
Yeah. So what else? Deprivation as well. Deprivation is a major thing. And then me and my sister, we're always talking about the fact that the system's not set up for us. So of course we're going to have poor outcomes because of everything that goes around poor education, poor mental health, poor diet, poor, low paid jobs, they all contribute towards poorer outcomes when you're giving birth. I can't remember who told me this story that I'd like to share with you around the fact that a woman of colour was, you know, she was in labour, she was maybe asking for some assistance, asking additional questions, and she was being rebuffed and, you know, generally ignored, not really given the attention that she felt she needed or should have had. And then when her white husband came into the room, which they didn't know because she was a woman of colour, that everything changed. Everything changed. Everything changed instantly. So it's just, it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. And I hope that I'm doing my part to actually change some of that.
All right. So now we obviously want to talk a little bit around, so this episode, we really wanted to focus on confidence, particularly when it comes to like mothers, especially single mothers, and their journey to like, maybe, you know, they're building their confidence. Maybe their confidence has been kind of affected because of a relationship or because of family matters, or maybe becoming a parent has had a knock-on effect on their confidence. So I think from your standpoint as a mother, it would be really good for me to understand, you know, what does confidence mean to you, and how have you built your confidence over the last couple of years? Or since you've been a mom?
Great question.
Let's go for it. Let's get into it.
Okay. So for me, because I was thinking about it yesterday, and for me, confidence is about, and yeah, so I thought, what does confidence mean to me? And I wrote it down, and then I looked at the Oxford definition, and I was like, yeah, it matches it. So for me, confidence is believing in myself. It's a belief and it's a faith in myself, around the fact that I've got this, basically. I've got this, despite what might be happening around me, whether it's good or bad, and I don't like to think of like duality, but it exists, right? So a confidence that I've actually got this, and I have faith that I've got this. And then there's a part around trust. So like if I said to you, Winnie, I've got confidence that you'll meet me at 5. There's a 5 o'clock on Tuesday. There's a trust that you're going to meet me at 5 on Tuesday. So I put that on myself as well. I trust that I'm going to achieve or smash whatever goals I've set for myself. So, yeah, that's what confidence means to me. But then I also, I'm quite spiritual as well. So then I align that with confidence that I'm completely supported by the universe. So whatever, so I've got confidence that I'm going to smash the goal. I've got confidence that I'm going to do a workout at 6 in the morning, because that's what I'm going to do. But then if I don't do the workout at 6, like I said, it's also okay. It's also perfectly okay. So it's about trusting the universe, and that has the universe, spirit, whatever you want to call it, has definitely increased my confidence over the last few years, and just trusting in my higher self.
And I absolutely agree with you. So I think for me, and I'm really glad you touched on that, because I think it goes hand in hand. I know that in the past, I've struggled with my mental health, and I've struggled in terms of like having faith or hope or within myself. Mm-hmm. And when I started, obviously, like, practicing my religion, going to church, and, you know, believing in a higher self, believing in a higher spirit, that alongside some of the things that I've done to boost my confidence and to have a bit more trust within my own self-confidence, I feel like it's definitely come hand in hand, and it's lifted up my spirits, and it's made me have more confidence within myself and what I can do. For the listeners that are listening to this episode, how can they evaluate on a scale of 1 to 10 where their confidence is at?
Ask that question. Ask yourself that question. You know? Ask yourself that question and be upfront. And so, and then there's also the recognition as well.
But what if they don't know? Because I remember I worked in a job, and one of my old bosses would always be like, you need to be more confident. You need to be more confident. And I was like, what do you mean? Like, I come in, I answer, I speak, I'm, you know, I'm doing... What do you mean I need to be more confident? So what if, you know, people actually don't know what self-confidence looks like within themselves? Mm. What kind of habits can they develop, or what things should they be looking out for as a way to self-evaluate their confidence?
I think if it starts with, so you said scale it from the scale of 1 to 10, but if they don't actually know, then we're going to have to go back even further. And you're going to have to maybe share with me what you think confidence is. What does confidence look like to you? What does it feel like? Okay, you're not feeling confident now, for example, but what do you think it feels like? What do you think you would achieve if you did have it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what are some examples that could potentially demonstrate what confidence feels like?
So it could feel like freeing. It could feel, you could feel freedom. You could feel powerful, empowered, focused, driven, fulfilled, satisfied, aligned.
That's really good.
Excited. And there's so many different things, but if like we've already spoken, but in my coaching practice, that is what I would, if someone said, oh, Donnery, I want to talk about confidence. The first question I would say is, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? And they might say, I don't know. What does it feel like? Okay, you don't know. So what do you feel like now? And how do you want to feel?
Yeah.
And what's stopping you from feeling that now? And then we'd have a conversation about what is that block that's preventing you from feeling confident, and unpick that. So you might feel like you may come into the session feeling like we're going to speak about confidence, and we start speaking about something else. We start speaking about a voice that you've had in your head since 5 that you can never do X right, or you're never going to make it. And what I was going to say as well is that I might feel really confident in the kitchen, but really, you know, like you tell me to make something, I can make it and it tastes fire. And then you tell me to go and present or do a presentation, and now I'm not. So we have different confidence levels for different things, I feel like, as well. It's not like a general blanket confidence. I'm confident about everything.
And I think you kind of hit a nail in the head. So I want to just go back a bit, because you said that, you know, sometimes when you do your confidence coaching sessions, which I definitely want to touch on a bit more, sometimes you might meet somebody and actually the reason why they don't have confidence might be because of like childhood trauma, mm-hmm. or maybe like, you know, something that might have happened to
you
them.
You said relationships, you said it, yeah.
So what are some of the causes that you've come across that causes women or anyone particularly to have a lack of confidence?
It's usually, and this includes myself when I was on the accredited program, but what usually comes up is a trauma that's happened when they were much younger, when they were a child, usually. An experience, maybe a message they received when they were quite young around their ability to achieve, that's created a voice in their head that now knocks their confidence. And sometimes, like you said, it could be a relationship that we've had in adult life. There's, you know, they were confident, they were smashing it, and then something's happened, the conversation has happened, the relationship's happened, that's affected them. But usually when they were much younger, it's much unaddressed experience where they've created this trauma and they've created this gremlin. I like to call it a gremlin.
Yeah.
That just chat shit.
In your head.
Hold you back. And we talk about how is this gremlin actually helping you to achieve what it is you want to achieve? How is it helping you? But then also understanding that it's quite, there's an element of this gremlin that wants to protect you based on what happened all those years ago. There's like, don't do that. If you do that, this is going to happen. If there is a protective factor around it as well.
Yeah.
You know?
So, it feels safe. Like you resonate. Yeah. Gremlin, because it's been a part of you for so long. So
you're going to be embarrassed. You're going to be embarrassed. You remember when you did a presentation when you was 2, or you were in that play when you were 5, and they all laughed at you because whatever it might be, you don't embarrass yourself. Just don't even go there, you know? And then it manifests into lots of different things.
And what are some of the building blocks or some of the strategies that you use in your coaching program to help these individuals that come and see you to get past those gremlins, or at least to tame and to nurture those gremlins?
It depends on, because in coaching, the coaching that I've done, it's completely led by the client. And so I might have all my ideas, and if they don't want to go there, we don't go there. But there are lots of tools that we've used. So there's something about creating buy-in. So getting the client to understand that even though they're not feeling confident now, they have had incidences and experiences of feeling confident, and reminding them of that time and the fact that that was all them, and how can they recreate that feeling, and working out what do they need to do to get to that place. And so within the session or sessions, we might create some SMART goals that make them very accountable to what it is they're going to achieve.
What are SMART goals, just for people who haven't heard?
Okay, So it's actually called AIM SMART. So we've got AIM SMART goals. So what they can achieve. SMART is specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-based. And so we might set something that they definitely is a massive stretch, something that's very minor and they can do it with their eyes closed and in the middle ground. And then we create those goals for them to actually work towards. I'll ask them how accountable they want to be. How do they want to be accountable? Do they want a text from me, or are they going to set a reminder in their phone, or do they have a friend that will check in and say, remember what you said you were going to do? Have you done it? Or we'll check in next week. Mantras. So a lot of my clients, we do work on mantras as well. So
for them, that like affirmations?
Whatever they want, whatever it might be. So mantras, affirmations. For when that gremlin does rear its head. So how you can speak to that inner voice. Another tool that I use myself is that I have reoccurring alarms that just alarm throughout the day with affirmations. It's the same one. Sometimes I change it and it just alarms throughout the day. There's no rhyme or reason. And it's just a great, it re-centers you. It's almost like a mini, like meditation. It just, like, you might be having a great day and then it makes it even greater, or you might be having a shit day and then it pops up and it's saying basically you are perfectly aligned, you are more than enough, you know, I'm perfect.
I love that.
You know, just whatever it might be. So you are perfectly aligned, you are more than enough. Because one of my things that came up when I was in my coaching course was that my feelings of worthiness. So that is something that I have to work on, and that's in my affirmations. What else? We use scaling. So you've mentioned that already. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you feeling? Where do you want to be by the end of the session? What's stopping you? We talk about what might be stopping them, and then we scale up again at the end of the session. How much closer do you think you are to the number that you wanted to achieve? Some of them will say 10. They want to be a 10 at the end of the session, but
yeah, 10 is perfect. There's no such thing as perfect.
You know, and scaling that up. Journaling as well. So there's so many different things that we can discuss to increase confidence and really unpack what's going on, because judgment comes up a lot when we're speaking about confidence. So judgment of self and then others, and how
judgment
that and then how that impacts. So we have judgment journals, or they'll just put it on their phone, but you could have a journal to just recognize when you're being judgmental, you know, of yourself and others, and how it might impact your confidence. So there's lots of tools that could be used. I forgot to mention, sorry, to go back to tools, acknowledging and validating how they're feeling. That's a massive one for clients, regardless of what we're talking about.
And can you give me an example of like acknowledging?
So acknowledging that your confidence is not where you want it to be, and validating how you feel about it.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes that's all someone wants for that moment, to be acknowledged of their feelings and how shit they are. And then we move on to how can we rectify this? So I forgot that, but it's so ingrained that I completely forgot it, but it should be mentioned, you know?
Acknowledging. No, I think that's really important, because it goes back to what I was referring to before. Like, I felt like I was in a position where I didn't really know what confidence meant. Mm. And I was like, well, how can I hold myself accountable? How can I like improve on my confidence if I didn't even think it was an issue, or I didn't know how to like see that I didn't have such a strong sense of confidence, do you know what I mean? But I think what you just said about firstly, admitting and owning mm-hmm. where you are on mm-hmm. your confidence scale mm-hmm. and understanding that maybe it could be improved mm-hmm. is the starting point. And I think for me, where things changed is when I connected with my inner child and I realized that actually, this is where I want to be, this is where it's at. And alongside that, now I know when I feel really confident, when I'm at my peak, and when I don't feel really confident, and when I'm like down in the dumps. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I do completely agree and understand what you mean about what confidence means to you and how you can kind of build upon that and just be honest with yourself, really.
Yeah.
From your experience as a mother raising two boys, how has your confidence kind of, you know, shifted or changed, or maybe it's been consistent? How have you managed that throughout the years? Or has there been any instances that's had a knock-on effect on your confidence?
Oh, yes. So how have I managed it? So I'll start with the second question. So I'm a single mum.
Yes,
I'm a single mum. I told you I've got two boys. I'm getting really well with my eldest son's dad, my youngest son's dad. It's a long story, maybe another podcast.
Love it.
Yeah, but my youngest son's dad, he constantly, and I was listening to one of your podcasts and it was so good. I was like, I wanted to type live. And I was like, Donna, you can't type anything. It's like,
which one was there?
Oh my God, he took me to court. Everything. Oh, yeah. I was like, wow, you guys are reading my whole life. I couldn't believe it. I was like, nah.
Excellent.
I don't know how I'm going to go back on Spotify to like leave a review and just big you guys up, because that was amazing. But guys, go and listen to that. It resonated with me on every single level. And he knocked my confidence as a mum, as a female, as a person. I don't know. I don't like to use the term narcissistic, but I think he is. And yeah, he just would make me feel shit as a mum. And so he has knocked my confidence over the years. However, like yourself, you mentioned your spiritual journey. So I've always been spiritual, but I've been taking it more seriously. I've been more committed in the last maybe two or maybe longer. I keep saying 2 years. Every time I say 2 years, even though it's been like, I don't know why I keep saying two years.
It's still like 2 years.
I keep saying yeah on a loop, but it's been really and truly. I'm trying to think about when I first bought my first bunch of white sage. It was not 2 years ago. It was like 2015.
Okay, so...
No, 2012, 2013, yeah. So it's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while. But I keep saying 2 years.
Time has no concept nowadays. We're just living.
So as I've become more spiritually aware and attuned, I understand him and his behaviours more. And he wouldn't even believe that he has contributed to improving my confidence.
Yeah. You know?
It's yeah. crazy. It's so he knocked it, but now he still continues with the emails and so on. But yeah, he between him and my spiritual journey, it has increased. And so I go back to the point I made the first time around trusting in the universe. And then when I'm trusting in the universe and then everything aligns, that makes me trust the universe even more. And that makes me more confident in myself. That makes me, it's like a knock-on effect. So I trust the universe, spirit, God, whatever you want to call, will say, Donnery, do not respond to that email.
Yeah.
Don't respond to that email. And then I'm rewarded with peace.
Yes.
You know? I'm rewarded with a babysitter, so I might get an email that I'm not doing this. I know you had plans, but whatever to your plans, and I'm not looking after our son.
Yeah.
and I don't respond to the email. And then by magic, my sister might say, oh, I'm going taking the kids out. So whereas before I would have responded, I would have got stressed out. Maybe rude in my response. And I would have, I'd be angry and I wouldn't have a babysitter and I'd have a shit weekend. But just not responding and trusting. And then my sister will phone and say, oh, I'm doing a play date. Can I have Cyan? And I'll be back.
Love it.
So I've been getting those signs and that's throughout life, not even just as a parent, trusting your higher self. And when I say higher self, that is your past, present and future self. When I say higher self, so it can see everything, it can see everything already, and just tapping in throughout your day and having a word like, does that make sense? No, that doesn't make sense to me. Trusting in that higher self. They've got you. They want what you want for yourself. They'll think is small shit. They'll be like, that's all you want. That's your life dream, you know? Yeah. And so it's, yeah, aligning with that. And that, like I said, it builds my confidence. And I was just having a conversation with my 9-year-old about trusting in the universe, trusting that voice in your head and how you will be rewarded. And to other people, it might look like magic and it might be look like, how did Winnie get that hookup? But because it's your reward for trusting and to other people it looks like magic, or it looks like, you know, a jammy hookup or whatever, but it's because you've been trusting all this time and just not questioning, you know, and having that faith.
And I agree with that, because I always felt like someone must know what I've been through. Like, come on, I can't have just gone through all of this by myself and I'm just sitting here and like nobody cares. And it's not so much sympathy or so much as like, sure, you know, I always think of it as, and I know this is going to sound, some people are going to listen to this and be like, what the hell are you talking about? But you know, when Jesus was on the cross and he literally said like, Lord, why have you forsaken me? And I always think it's that moment. It's that you've been through something and it's like, why has this happened to me, you know? Mm-hmm. And after 3 days he rose from the cross, so it's almost like redemption. So it's like, if I've been through all of this, I want my redemption, like I need it, I want it, how am I gonna get it type thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's also really important to not be malicious and to not, you know, to keep a pure heart and to do things in a good way, because if things in life are happening to you in a way that you are not necessarily contributing to or creating or pushing for, then it will only go around 360 and it will work out for you in the end. So I really love the fact when you said, you know, trust the past, present and future, because I do think they go hand in hand. Absolutely.
Definitely. And just the recognition that, and I can't remember, I don't know who was the original quote, but I've been living by it for a long time and it gives me comfort as well. This is probably another tool that I use for myself, and it was part of actually, that's what I'm saying, this coaching course just resonated with me so much, but nothing ever grows in a comfort zone. And people have said like, what do you mean? I'm like, I try and make it visual for them, and I'm like, just imagine a beautiful garden, you know, it's got all the beautiful flowers, but nothing new is growing. There's no germination of the flowers. There's no bees. It's just nice to look at. There's no growth in the comfort zone in that. There's absolutely no way, when you're feeling uncomfortable, when you're feeling out of sorts, that there's not a muscle within your spiritual, emotional, physical makeup that isn't growing.
Yeah.
So when you're uncomfortable, there's growth. And so that when I'm feeling really shitty, I'm like, okay, I'm feeling shitty. That means something's happening in the background.
That's not right.
Yeah, something's happening and you're growing. There's growth. You know? There's growth. You're growing. It's contributing to your future self. But what do you do with that knowledge now? You know?
I heard you move on from that. Absolutely. What would you say are like the top three low-cost forms of habits that mothers can do, because some of these things are expensive, you know, and I think the government cutting off some support that parents are going to be receiving, and with some parents not necessarily being able to work and not being able to perhaps have enough of an income to pay for some of these things, which are still costly.
Definitely.
What would you say are some low cost? Like, I think I can jump in and obviously say running. Running is a very powerful low cost exercise that you can do just by buying a good pair of trainers, going out your house, and it will do immense work for all your mental health and actually help
and
you
outside in nature.
And outside nature, and you don't have to pay any gym membership. I am a big, big advocate for running. I would also say like having baths. Set in time to have a bath. Like,
I forget the salt baths. Yes.
Exactly. Epsom salt baths with some candles and some tea tree oil. Like, do it, love it, low cost, doesn't cost anything.
Holland and Barrett sometimes do really great deals on the salts.
You can get them for like, even Boots, you can get them for like less than £2 sometimes, which is really good. What are some other low cost activities do you think women can do in terms of confidence building? Like, just another one or two, because
I'm thinking, I've already said meditation, that doesn't cost anything.
Yes.
And even with the exercise, that's going to release those endorphins and make you feel good and improve your mental health. There's lots online as well. And what Kiera will always say when she say, oh, whatever dumbbells, she'd be like, if you haven't got dumbbells, get two tins of beans. So there's loads of free workouts on YouTube. You know, that you can access as well if you want to work at home, that you don't need to pay for membership. There's something about the mantras. I think they're really important, that positive self-talk, how we talk to ourselves. I think that doesn't cost anything, just being kinder to yourself. There was we were having a discussion when I was on the coaching course about if we treated other people as we sometimes treat ourselves, we'd be arrested or something. It was something like that, you know. If we spoke to, it would be just, it wouldn't happen. And so, how are we kinder to ourselves, and how do we have positive self-talk to increase our confidence? What do you tell yourself to increase it? What do you need to tell yourself? You know, having healthy relationships and trusting yourself.
I love that.
Trusting yourself. It doesn't cost anything, but you already know that person wasn't the one for you. You already know that you didn't really want that job. You knew everything already.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, you didn't trust yourself. And now look. And I've got that story for so many situations in my life. So I'm not, there's no shade. It's just, it's real. It's real out here.
Absolutely.
It's real.
And how can Sassy Mom stay in touch with you? I mean, how can they perhaps maybe look into your coaching classes, maybe just follow you for inspiration? Like, how would you coach them to
So I'm just developing my I'm just adding to my Instagram. So I'm a proper granny. I didn't say my age, but I'm a granny when it comes to tech stuff. So I'm just looking.
Get your sons to do it. Come on.
Oh, my sons. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Actually, my niece would be the great one. So I've got my Instagram page. It's called the handle, should I say? The handle is the_pivot_platform. So it's the Pivot platform.
Love Pivot as a keyword.
Yeah, we can always pivot. There's always something to pivot. Yeah. And my website. And so that's my business page, the Pivot platform. And then my personal page is DGold4, so DEGOLD4. If anyone wants to have a conversation with me around the coaching, go to the Pivot platform, the_pivot_platform. There's a link in the bio, and you can just book a conversation. It's no cost. Just see where you're at. See if we align, if we're on the same wavelength, and see how I can support you to achieve whatever it is you want to achieve. So there's always more we can do. There's always more we can do for ourselves, you know. I've got a coach. Coaches have coaches, you know. So
absolutely.
I think it's a great thing to have. And I have, well, how can I put this? When I had to fill an application form to actually pay for my money to actually attend this course. Single mums was my cohort. So single mums was the cohort of people that I wanted to help, as well as other people. But I've got a soft spot for single mums and young people. So definitely hit me up. As you say, money is becoming a lot tighter for some individuals, and maybe we can work something out.
Sounds good.
Exchange of energy. Energy doesn't always have to be money.
I love it. And obviously we'll also have an opportunity to do a workshop at some point in the
future. Oh yeah, I'd love that. I'd love that. Of course.
Where listeners as well as the wider community can join, and they'll have mm-hmm. an opportunity to ask you some questions. Maybe it's about your role as a head of maternity at NHS, mm-hmm. or maybe it's about the coaching workshops which you're currently running. But mm-hmm. those opportunities will come, and we will share it with the Sassy Single Mums community. So mm-hmm. stay tuned for that.
Excellent. Exciting.
Yeah. Donnerai, it's been so awesome hosting you on the show today. It's been so nice listening to just like your story, listening to your strategies for building confidence, listening about the awesome work that you're doing with the NHS. And we definitely need to have a follow-up conversation, perhaps with you and Dion, because I'd love to hear both perspectives.
Yeah, she'd love
both
it.
Both your stories, so we'd have to follow up on that. But thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you for inviting me. It's been an absolute pleasure.
And that's all for today's show. If you'd like to stay in touch with us, follow us on Instagram at @sassy_singlemums. If you'd like to share your story, email us hello@sassysinglemums.com.